community.com.
Virginia Beach for 10 weeks. So 5 of the weeks we were there with crew staff, and they led us through a lot of like Bible training. They led us through evangelism training. So we learned a lot about just like how to go out and share our faith, and just different resources to use while doing that. And then we were there 5 weeks without staff, where we kind of, as a student team, created our own schedule and like kind of just created our own events of like what we wanted to do and what we wanted the mission to look like. So I kind of want to walk you guys through just a little bit about like a typical week that we had there. So if you want to pull up the first picture. So we all had jobs on this missions trip, and so the purpose of that was to go and minister to our coworkers and learn how to really share our faith like in the workplace, so that like after college we can then take that out and like live that out after college. And so I worked at Sensations, which is like a beach and surf shop, so that was really fun. Got to sell a lot of souvenirs and things like that. Got to talk to a lot of tourists and things like that, so that was really cool. So on Sundays, we were designated to different churches. So my church that I went to was called International Christian Church, and so that was a very like diverse church, and it was just really cool to experience like a different kind of like worship and praise, because they did things a little bit differently there. So that was really cool to experience that. And then on Sunday nights we did volleyball with them, where we invited people from like the community to like play in volleyball tournaments. So that was a really cool outreach thing that we did with the church. And then on Mondays we had community and oneness nights. And so those were basically just nights that we invited our coworkers, and we got to just like put on like a fun event for people. And so that was just like another outreaching that we did. And so one of the pictures that I have is of us mini golfing. That's not that one. but it's of us mini golfing. So this is some of our team, and then some of the people that we got to invite mini golfing with us. So that was just a fun one that I thought I'd share. And then on Tuesdays, so we all had like different parts that we were leading on the mission. And so for me, I was leading spiritual formation, so that included Bible study. So on Tuesdays, I led Bible study for my group, and we went through a book called Jude. Over the 5 weeks that staff weren't there, so that was really fun and a really cool learning experience that I can take back onto campus with me. On Wednesdays, we went back to ICC, the church, and we had worship nights, and that was like another place we could invite people to come with us, so it was a lot of like inviting people in and joining us for different activities. And then on Thursdays, we had what was called extended time with the Lord. And so that was, we designated like 2.5 hours to just do something that brought us closer to the Lord. So it could be just reading your Bible, studying. It could be going on a walk, really whatever we wanted. But the goal was to like invite the Lord into that area and to spend time with him. And then after that, we had what was called prayer and praise. And so that was, we just prayed over the mission, we prayed over each other, and then we also had like time to like reflect on the week so far, and just the different cool things that were happening and the ways that God was working. And then on Fridays, those were kind of like our free days. We got to choose like what we wanted to do. And so for me, I decided to go to back to the church and to help with the youth there. And then we also got plugged in. Some of us got plugged into like the college group. And so that was a really fun thing that we got to do. And then on Saturdays, those were like our big like outreach days, because none of us worked on Saturdays. So we got to go out to the boardwalk. We did a bunch of different things, but we got to go out to the boardwalk and minister to people just through talking about spiritual things. We got to do like body mode evangelism. So there's one time we played like beach volleyball and we invited people in and then got to have gospel conversations with them too, which was really cool. And so I actually have a picture of, so two girls, I just kind of want to share two little stories that really stand out to me on the trip. So next to me, there's a girl named Rhea. And so she is a girl that one of our team members worked with. And so we started inviting her to a lot of things. And so she ended up coming to church and she started hanging out with us, and she's just like a very curious person. So we got to do a lot of like intentional like relationship building with her. And that just like came with the fact that we were able to be there for so long and just also like, yeah, have those coworker connections. And then the girl next to her, her name is Rexy, and she has a special place in my heart because we met her on the boardwalk, and it was actually kind of like we were heading back to go back to our the place that we were staying at, and it just felt God calling us to go talk to her. And so she is from the Navy, so she doesn't have a lot of like girl, like lady community at all. So she's just like really longing for like friends to hang out with and just a place that was like positive for her. And so we ended up having a conversation with her. And so she started coming to church and coming, and she helped us with a lot of like the outreach stuff eventually. And she ended up inviting her boyfriend, and her boyfriend started asking questions, and she was able to like help answer them like once she learned more about her faith and things like that. And so she ended up committing her life to Christ on the trip. So that was really cool and a really fun thing to be a part of. So yeah, and another thing that too that I wanted to share was, if you want to go back to that like little video. Yeah, so I forgot to share this. So when staff was there, we all had different ministry teams that we were put into like prior to coming, like they chose them for us. And so we got to like put in our input, and then they like created the teams. And so I was on prayer and praise when the staff was there, and that was not one of my top three choices. So going in, I was like, okay, this is fun. I didn't get one of my top three choices, but I knew like I could serve wherever. And so that experience ended up being a really, really cool learning opportunity for me. And like I grew in a lot of ways just like serving on that team, and it started like stirring a passion for like world vision for me. And we talked a lot about like the unreached people groups and things like that. So that was really cool. And I also learned a lot about like my personal prayer time, and I grew a lot in that as well. So this is my team, and that was a really fun time. But yeah, I also just wanted to share too that like there was a lot of really, really, really exciting things that did happen, but we also had a lot of not so great things that happened, just with like the nature of the area. We struggled a lot with safety a lot of the time. There was a few unexpected like hard things that happened that sent three of our team members home early, which was really sad for us. And we were already a small group going in, so it was kind of like, okay, God, like, what are you doing here? And so, like, through that all, I think God just has really taught us how to cling to Him through those hard times, and that He doesn't necessarily promise, like, great circumstances all the time, but He will turn those circumstances into something good. And He really just proved that on the trip, because like the second half of our trip was just amazing in so many different ways, and we could just really see God working in other people that we were ministering to. And so, yeah, so we just really learned how to cling to Christ in that. And just like another thing that I learned over the trip was how to be bold in my faith and like sharing that out with other people. And then also just like I learned a lot about like the freedom that we have in Christ. And so that was just a really cool thing that I got to learn over the trip. So I have a lot more stories, so if anybody like wants to talk afterwards, I'd be more than willing to share more, but I do have limited time. So yeah, I just want to thank you guys so much for all your prayers and your support. It just really means a lot to me, and I think that I really grew from this experience, and I think I'm going to be able to take a lot of that back to my college campus as well. So now I have just a little video.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That looked pretty awesome. Can we give her a round of applause, please? As a local church that can help support that, that's pretty amazing. We're so glad to see and hear the things you and your group were able to accomplish down there, and just looked like an overall amazing time, and God was glorified and everything was good. So we're glad that you're back safe, and thanks for all the work that you did down there. So with that, I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and we got another song that we're going to do. And at this time, I'm going to dismiss the kids downstairs to continue their worship.
Morning, everyone. Sorry, that was a very intentional mic check after my horrible error last week, where it took about 10 or 15 minutes in before we realized couldn't hear anything online. It was a lot of lip syncing. So glad you are with us this morning as we dive into today's topic and talk about some things. When you hear the word justice, you may automatically think of the criminal justice system, right? When justice is, like, when those who are accused of breaking the law are tried, and if found guilty, they're punished. Right? You may think about justice as an issue of fairness, like justice is the idea that all people should be treated equally or equitably. You may view justice as doing what is right, or what is beneficial. Now, the English definition of justice is actually much more vague than that. The English definition of justice is this, having a basis in or conforming to fact or reason. Having a basis in or conforming to fact or reason. Now, that would be pretty similar to what we talked about last week, is the idea of truth, right? The idea of truth. And the second part is conforming to a standard of correctness. Now, when you read that definition, it makes it sound like justice should be a cut and dried thing, right? And yet it's such a complex concept in our society, in our world. If you think of justice in terms of the criminal justice system, well, what if a law is unfair? What if a jury or a judge is biased? What if someone is wrongly convicted? What if the evidence is unfairly stacked against someone? Is there really justice then? If you think of justice as an issue of fairness and equity or equality, but then we live in this society where for myriad reasons, different people are treated differently, can you really expect justice? If you view justice as doing what is right, or doing what is beneficial, then you have a problem too. Because how do you determine that? Right? For example, what should justice look like for a George Floyd, Derek Chauvin situation? You're going to have a lot of different answers. Oftentimes, what's considered right or beneficial by or for one person may not be considered right or beneficial by or for another. So justice, when it comes to justice in our society, it will always be challenging, right? It's always going to be a challenge because the so-called truth, the fact, or the reason, as we talked about last week, the truth always seems to come with an angle or an agenda to it. And the standard for justice in our society seems to constantly be changing. Now, when it comes to justice from a scriptural standpoint, the good thing for us as followers of Jesus is, first of all, we have the truth. Jesus is the truth. God's word is the truth. The gospel is the truth. So we have this standard of truth. And not only that, but the standard for justice, that never changes because God never changes. Right, God is that standard. God's righteousness is the standard. And that's not going to change. And I think that's important to keep in mind when we talk about justice in general from a scriptural viewpoint. God's truth, it never changes. And his righteous standard, that's always going to remain. So with that in mind, I want us to look at just a couple of passages, and actually a number of passages, that talk about justice in the scriptures. And it may go in a little bit different direction than you expected, but we'll roll with that. So first verse, first set of verses, Psalm 10, verses 17 through 18, says this, O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. Okay, when it comes to justice for those who are afflicted, for those who are oppressed, their cries, they don't fall on deaf ears. You incline your ear, that's what God does. And he inclines it to do justice. So not only does God hear the cry of injustice, he responds to it, right? And that's, God hears the cry of injustice and he responds to it. We see that in Scripture. We see when God's people were being oppressed and afflicted as slaves in Egypt, he sent Moses to deliver them, right? When the disciples were imprisoned for sharing the gospel, he sent an angel to deliver them. We see instances of God hearing the cries of injustice and responding. So God hears the cry of injustice and he responds. Now, not only does he hear and act upon injustice, does God do that, but then he wants some things for us as his people. God wants, first of all, his people to uphold justice, right? He wants his people to uphold justice. Micah 6:8 says this, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, in some translations say mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Like, justice is a requirement of God. We are obligated to seek it, to try to uphold it. If you think about it, Jesus criticized the Pharisees of his day, the conservative religious leaders of his day, right? And he criticized them pretty severely for how they had interacted with their laws. Matthew 23, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides straining out a gnat and yet swallowing a camel. Right? So Jesus considers justice to be the bigger issue, right? When it comes to the requirements of the law. Now, he says, look, it's not about dividing up your spices and giving every little last bit of what you ought to. Now, yes, you ought to do that. You're supposed to do that. But justice, that's the bigger deal. So you need to do both. Don't do the little things and neglect the big thing. And don't do the big thing and neglect the little thing. So God wants his people to uphold justice. Now this might be splitting hairs, but the second point or idea is he wants his people to avoid injustice. He wants his people to avoid injustice. Like Leviticus 19:15 says this, you shall do no justice in court. No, sorry, you shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall judge your neighbor. Right, so in terms of justice, think about this. It might be that nothing is harder to deal with when it comes to injustice than when those who are in power, who were entrusted with the authority to do the thing that is right, choose instead to do the thing that is wrong. Now, there have been times throughout history, we see it in the Bible and throughout church history, where both followers of Jesus or those who are of the Jewish heritage, God's people, they've been the ones doing the oppressing. The very thing that God says not to. When God's people are not upholding justice, when they're not avoiding injustice, God's not pleased with that at all. He wants them to get their act together. Listen to the prophecy of Isaiah. He says this, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes." These are God's words to his people, right? "Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's case." So God wants his people to uphold justice. He wants them to avoid injustice. But if we take that just a little bit further, whenever there is injustice and oppression and affliction, we're supposed to fight against it. Right? The third thing or the next thing is God wants his people to fight against injustice. Just like God hears and responds, we're supposed to do the same. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 says this, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." Right, so if we don't fight against injustice, this is where this is headed. If we don't fight against injustice, we're going to find that the rest of our worship doesn't mean that much to God. Listen to Amos 5, 21 through 24. God says, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like the waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God's looking for justice. And the standard for justice is his righteousness. If we don't pursue justice, this passage says, look, we're worshiping him in vain. Right? It's like God saying, you can take all of this so-called worship that you do to me and throw it out the window if you don't fight for justice. So justice in any form and oppression are a pretty big issue in Scripture. These are some pretty intense passages. We realize we're never going to experience it perfectly in this world until Jesus reigns, right? But it is something we should be striving for. So let me just ask you, this is a question that's kind of been on my heart as well. When's the last time you did something to rise up against an injustice? When did you last stand up for someone who was oppressed? When was the last time you stood in the gap for someone who was afflicted? Now, I'm not saying that as followers of Jesus, we should be standing up for things that are not reflective of God's heart in Scripture. Right? That's important. The standard is righteousness. God's standard is righteousness. He's the truth. But when we see or hear about people experiencing injustice, oppressed by sinful behavior of others, treated unjustly, are we willing to take a stand for them? And by the way, I'm not talking about just standing up for the people we like or the people we even sometimes agree with. If you think about it, Jesus stood up in defense of a woman who was caught in adultery. Didn't mean he thought the adultery was okay. He wasn't condoning her behavior. He even told her to stop living in that sin. But he came to her defense when everyone else wanted to kill her. Because that's the kind of thing that God does. One passage in Scripture that has really stood out to me about justice and injustice, about how we're to fight against injustice, it comes in Psalms, Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4. He writes, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. See, God loves justice. He has a heart for it. And we're supposed to reflect his heart. So do we. He calls us to be people who not only love justice, who not only uphold justice, but who fight against injustice, who fight to see justice realized in our world. Now, in the last couple of years for me, and this is really more circumstantial that these two things kind of came together for this weekend, justice and what I want to share with you next, but in the last few years, God's been stirring something on my heart regarding what I would call a specific area of injustice. And that's the area in the issue of human trafficking. I don't know if you know much about it, but estimates of anywhere between 600 and 800,000 people are trafficked across international borders each year. About 200,000 people are trafficked within the United States. They never leave the country, but they're trafficked here. Estimates of over 40 million people around the world are victims of human trafficking. They are forced or coerced against their will to work sometimes in sweatshops, sometimes on quarries or farms, as domestic servants, as child soldiers. But of course, the majority of this trafficking that takes place is people who are forced or coerced into prostitution and the sex trade industry. 40 million people. And that number is growing every year. Now, 40 million people, if you do the math, and if I did the math correctly, that's about 0.5% of the total population. And 0.5% may not seem like a lot, but that's about 1 in every 200 people. And while this number, according to most organizations that try to follow this thing, while they understand there's this hidden nature of trafficking, human trafficking, and so it gets hard to keep track of. But many organizations believe these estimates are far too low. So these are not people who just woke up one morning and decided to make prostitution or indentured servant their lifestyle. These are people who were forced against their will to do things that should make all of us cringe. And the ones who lead this effort are getting away with it. That's pretty much a description of injustice. And not only is it injustice, but it is evil. So for me, I've been asking the question for a while now, What am I supposed to do about it? And for us as a church, what are we supposed to do about it? Psalm 82 that we just read. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. How about that? Right, how about we do that? For a long time, I have felt that this is an area where perhaps we as a church can make a difference. And then over the last few years, it's really built up. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't think this is just a me thing. I believe it's a God thing, but it's not just me who has been feeling this way. I've had conversations with a number of you and others who are part of our community who have had a growing burden or a passion for this thing, that God has put something on their heart at one time or another over the past couple of years, whether we've taken action on it or not. And this growing burden or passion is something that is not going away, at least for me. And so a while back, we started some conversations as church leaders, as elders in our church, about how could we make a difference in this area. And as leadership, we felt like this was a good direction to head, that we should take some action. They've been on board for a while now. Now, we just started to take some initiative on this and figure out some things, and then COVID hit, right? So that kind of derailed our immediate plans to take action. But now that we're moving a little bit more forward once again, we want to get back to work on this. And we want everyone here at Portico to be on board, to be a part of it. Right? We don't want this just to be a side thing, but we hope it's something that we as a community embrace and move after. So, what does that look like? What are we going to do? We do have a plan, or at least the start of a plan, and that's what I want to share with you a little bit about this morning. Some of you may be familiar with the Christian music group, the rock group called Remedy Drive. If not, you should be, because they're awesome. they're a fantastic band, but their last three albums have really brought a focus on bringing light to the issue of human trafficking. Right? They do work with an organization called Exodus Road, and Exodus Road goes undercover to gather evidence of human trafficking that's taking place. And then they work with the authorities to catch the big fish in the operation so that they can shut things down. Right? It's not just about finding a person who is in a sex trade and pulling them out of it, but they want to find evidence that will set the entire group free. Over the last 10 years or so, their efforts have led to about 800 arrests, which is a big deal because, again, it shuts down some operations. It's also led to over 1,500 people, souls who have been rescued in six different countries from human trafficking. And we want to jump on board with this effort, right? So a couple of things. The first thing that we'd like to do is we'd like to bring Remedy Drive to the area to do a concert and kind of an outreach in Oshkosh. Now, it's important to understand, at least on our end, that there's two things that are important here. One is we want to do this in a way that brings the gospel to people as well, right? This isn't just a human trafficking thing. Ultimately, our hope is that people are going to come to know Christ as a result. Maybe they're going to see the work that we're doing, and that's going to have an impact on them. Maybe they're going to see, hear the message and respond to the gospel. We don't know. But at the very least, they're going to hear the gospel. But more as well, along with that, they're going to hear a strong presentation which talks about fighting against human trafficking and making a difference. They also, this group Remedy Drive and David Zach, who is the lead guy of it, he has the ability to step into college classes, religious studies, women's studies, ethics classes, that sort of thing, and speak about the issue, right? And then hopefully draw attention to the issue and then bring people out for a concert at night. Now, our hope is not, our plan is not to do a concert and bring them here to the church, right? I think that's important to understand. Like, my heart has been, how can we have a big impact in this way? And so many times we take a Christian group and we stick them in the church and all the Christians come. And they nod their head and they agree with everything that they heard and they've already made commitments to Christ and we all have a great time, but then nothing changes. Right? So our goal is to bring them in to do a concert that is on campus, on the UW Oshkosh campus. Now, their message resonates. I believe it will resonate. I believe that when you see their concert and the images that they portray and the stories they tell, it'll have a great connection. It may not lead to some people coming to our church. I honestly don't care about that. It'd be great if that happens. But that's not the point. That's not going to be the point. We want to see people come to know the gospel and also to hear this opportunity to bring light into this area of darkness. Now, as we do it, we'll work with the local college campus ministries and, you know, trafficking organizations to kind of pull this thing together. But we want to be the catalyst for it to happen here at Portico. Now, I'm going to say this. We have money set aside in our budget to just bring them in and do a day thing and do a concert and be done with. We can do that. We have the funds to do that. But my heart is to see it become something so much more. Right? Like I would like to see us be able to be involved in raising funds and creating awareness that spreads beyond Portico and even beyond Oshkosh. As I see this group, and I've seen them at Life Fest and at the Cup of Joy, and I keep thinking, man, this is a group that can have a great impact. If we can work it into the college campuses, I think it's really going to resonate and make a difference. And so beyond just bringing them to UW Oshkosh, I don't know if you know about this, but I got some daughters in college. I've got connections with people who are in colleges they've been to. We have different ministries. We'd like to bring them to a series of colleges and campuses over the next, you know, over a stretch of time. So we don't want this just to be about a one-day thing. We want to see it expand elsewhere and be the catalyst for that to be happening. So even if it doesn't bring someone in through these doors, it's making impact all over the place. So we're working through that and figuring that out. That is the hope. That is the goal. And then that's not the end, because they promote this ministry called Exodus Road, and we want to continue to be involved with that same kind of effort, helping fund and support that the best that we can. We don't want this just to be a one-time push, a one-time thing that we do. We want to find ways to contribute to the ongoing work of a ministry like Exodus Road, whether that's financially or in other ways, so we can help shut the evil down, shine light in the darkness, help set more people free, and bring about this justice that God is calling us to be a part of. There's a ton of details to work out. We're just getting started on the effort. You're going to hear more about it in weeks and months to come. You might have questions. You might have ideas. That's great. Talk to me after if you want to, or we'll do lunch or set up time. We may not have all the answers, but we're going to keep working towards this. And the main thing is we need everyone to contribute in different ways. Maybe it's giving your time. Maybe it's giving some effort and energy into the work. Maybe it's giving of finances to help make this happen. So I'm going to ask you to please start praying about what God would have you do to connect in to this effort. Pray about the role that he's calling you to. Maybe pray about how you can help fund things in addition to your regular giving here at Portico. You know, a couple of years ago, through the work of some people here in church, we started this benevolence fund. And we've been able to raise quite a few $1,000s to help contribute to those who are in need in our community, our church community, and have been able to help some people in some difficult times. That's an awesome thing. I'm trusting that we can see something similar happen here with this. It's a unique opportunity for us. It's a chance for the gospel to be proclaimed to those who need it, and it's an opportunity to make an impact on human trafficking. I think it's a practical way that we can fulfill that command in Psalm 82. Right? Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. We may not be on the front lines of doing it, but we can help. We can help. God loves justice and calls us to fight for it. And the question is, will we? Would we be willing to step in and stand in the gap? I want to play just a short, like 1 or 2 minute video. I know we're running a little late this morning, but I want to play this video just to give you a very brief taste of the kind of thing that we'll be engaging in this fall. So let's go ahead.
You only get one life to live. What do you spend it on? I've been given this front row seat to the modern day abolition movement. And it's been the privilege of my life to watch ordinary people step into extraordinary roles in the arena of freedom and justice and mercy. We merged our rock and roll band with a counter-trafficking organization called the Exodus Road. We use our concerts and our albums to shine a light on slavery, and then our fan base and our community helps fund the abolition work of the Exodus Road. I get to join our teams on undercover missions in Asia and Latin America, where we use covert gear, we use cyber forensics technology to find evidence of trafficking, and then we use that actual evidence to partner with authorities to make raids against the traffickers responsible for this misery, dismantling these criminal networks and rescuing boys and girls out of slavery. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't make a difference. I'm just a kid from Nebraska. I write songs. Unlike Liam Neeson's character in that Taken movie, I don't possess a particular set of skills. But justice, my friends, is in the hands of the ordinary. We're ordinary, you and I, musicians, students, domestic engineers, doctors, architects. We're ordinary, but we're burdened with such a glorious purpose. And there's an abolition movement going on in our lifetime. And someday when slavery's but a mere memory, they're going to remember the day when the righteous rose up out of our indifference.
Isaiah 25:4. Isaiah describes God this way. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rain, and a shade from the heat. I want you to think about that picture of God. A refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in distress, a shelter from the rain, a shade from the heat. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Think of the storms that we had last night. Imagine not having shelter from that storm. And as we close this morning, I want you to close your eyes and think about not having shelter from this kind of storm. Just close your eyes and picture this for a moment, if you could. Try to imagine being someone who has been forced into servitude, some form of slavery, or prostitution. Because of human trafficking. Try to imagine being 23 years old, 16 years old, 12 years old, 7 years old, spending every moment of every day wondering if anyone cares enough about you to do something. Imagine spending every moment of every day hoping that someone would come to your rescue. Imagine praying day after day for a way out of the hell that you are living in. And thinking, God must not hear because there's never an answer. Now we can open our eyes and that goes away for us, right? We open our eyes and that image is gone. But for millions of people, the nightmare doesn't end. We have the opportunity to be hands and feet, the hands and feet of God for someone who needs shelter from the rain, who needs shade from the heat. We can be someone who stands up and speaks for and acts on behalf of those who are victims in distress like this. I know there's many other ways we can do that. But specifically, it's something we feel like God is calling us to pursue. We can help bring freedom for those who are in need of rescue. If we're willing to fight for those in need, if we're willing to fight for justice. And so I'm asking you, on behalf of myself, on behalf of our church leaders and elders, if you would stand with us in this effort to make a difference. Yes, to share the gospel, but to also bring light to the darkness, to make dents in the darkness of this evil that is taking place in our world. And so pray with us about that. Pray with us about that. Let's stand together. Actually, you can just stay seated. We're going to close in prayer, and Scott's going to close us with some announcements after that. Heavenly Father, I know that this is a This is a heavy topic. It's a lot to absorb. There are so many different injustices and evils in our world that it can seem overwhelming. There are so many different ways that we could give of our efforts and our time and our energy to try to make a difference, to try to bring some light to the darkness and bring hope where there's despair and bring the message of Jesus to those who need it, to bring love, to bring freedom, to bring life, to bring rescue. There are so many different areas where that could take place for each one of us. And God, as a church, I'm just simply asking that you lead and guide us in this effort to make a difference in this one, in this area of human trafficking. That it would be something that those around us would look at us and say, they really care. This is a church that cares. Doesn't matter that they're small. Doesn't matter that they're not directly involved in this, but they care about people. And that sure seems like the heart of Jesus. It seems like God, who wants his people to fight against injustice and to help those who are in need, who bring rescue for those who need rescue. Because it's exactly what Jesus did for us. So, Father, help us to be those people. Help us to be those people and help us to have wisdom in how to move forward with this effort. Keep it on our hearts. Keep our minds and hearts open to what it is you would have us do personally as we work towards this as a church. We lift all of this before you, and we also just pray for those who are out there who are victims right now that need this rescue, that you would use us in a way that helps bring it about. We want to pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who we know is powerful enough because he can do anything. And we commit this to you in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.